Welcome, everybody. This is, I think, the sixth installment of the Asia Kyle Initiative this year at Young Israel Hollywood. The Asia Kyle Initiative is supported by the OU Women's Initiative. It's a grant that we received, and we've done a lot of great women's programming this year. This one is obviously to prepare us for Pesach. I want to get going because I don't want us to be up as late as we are at the Seder, but you know, it'll be fun to feel that way. I'm just going to give you a little rundown of how tonight is going to work, and then we're going to get started. So Mrs. Toby Wolf is going to give us an awesome shiur in a couple of minutes. And following that, we're going to have a round robin. We'll have, I believe it's five sessions, where you will pick one of the turquoise tables to sit at, and the speakers are going to move around. That will just help us save a lot of time so that not everyone in the room is getting up and moving in between every Dvar Torah. Each slot will be about 6 minutes long, and then we're going to have the speakers move around, and you'll get to hear five different Divrei Torah throughout the night from different women who will be presenting. I just want to give a huge shout out to all the women who are presenting tonight. Thank you all so much. There were a lot of others who said no to me, so I really appreciate the ones who said yes, and I think it's going to be a really beautiful way for us to prepare for the Seder. Just so everyone knows, if you'd like to follow along in the Haggadah during Mrs. Wolf's shiur, there are Haggadahs at the front table there that actually were sent by the National Council of Young Israel for the membership of our shul. So if your family has not taken one home from the office yet, please take it home with you tonight. And there is also a sheet there about making the Seder more engaging for children that Rabbi Weinstock would like people to take, as well as the handouts for the shiur, which are on the tables in the center of the room now. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce Mrs. Wolf, and she's going to speak to us a little bit about the Haggadah.
Nice to be here. I applaud you that you all came out to learn and to prepare for the Seder. The word Seder, what does the word Seder mean? Order. And order implies that there is a structure to the night that we are fulfilling, and the Rambam explains that as mitzvat asei shel Torah. It's a positive commandment of the Torah. L'saper b'nisim v'nifla'ot sh'na'asu l'avoteinu b'mitzrayim. To tell of the wonders and the miracles and the wonders that were done to our fathers in Egypt. B'leil chamisha asar b'nisan. And on the night of the 15th of Nisan, and what is the source for this mitzvah? Sh'ne'emar zohor et hayom hazeh asher yitzata m'mitzrayim. Zohar, remember this day that you went out of Mitzrayim. So Rav Soloveitchik, now, what is, when we think about a Seder, when we think about the structure, what is the normal infrastructure that we use to guide us through the Seder? That's it, Kadesh Rechatz, right? That's what everybody uses. And that really shows us the process of the actions that we do during the Seder. But Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that if you look at the text of the Haggadah, the different segments that are unified with each other, it feels very disjointed. And it's hard to see the progression. It's hard to see the Seder. So the Rav suggests that we view the Seder through the lens of the Dalet Kosot. The four kosot, the four cups of wine that we drink. And if you look at the first source on the source sheet, which is also from the Mishneh Torah of the Rambam, kol kos v'kos me'arba kosot halalu nevarech alav bracha b'fnei atzma. There are four kosot, and even though we call it dalet kosot, each one stands as an individual kos and demands its own bracha. V'kos rishon omer alav kiddush Hayom. So the first kos is the one of Kiddush. Kos sheni korei alav et ha-Haggadah. Second kos is Magid, reading the Haggadah. Kos shlishi mivarech alav berkat hamazon. We eat our meal and we bench. Kos revi'i gomer alav et ha-Halel umivarech alav berkat hashir. The conclusion of the Seder is when it says gomrim et ha-Halel, That's because we begin Hallel actually as part of the Maggid before the meal. We say two segments, two little prakim of Hallel before, and we complete it after the meal. And Birkat Hashir is Nishmat Kochai, what we say every Shabbat in Pesukei Dezimra, and that is considered to be a highly elevated form of praise, because it's Nishmat Kochai. It's not just talking about the praise that we do as Klal Yisrael, but it's the praise, it's the hope that ultimately all human beings will recognize God and will be able to praise God. So that's the ultimate, ultimate, ultimate objective of the night. So we're familiar with Kiddush, and we're familiar with Birkat HaMazon, and we're familiar with Hallel. So what I would like to do tonight is focus on the Kos Sheni, the second Kos, which is the Kos of Maggid. And the Rav tells us that in this Kos, this section of Maggid is divided into three parts. The first part is halakha. I'm trying to give you a sense of the structure, so when you follow it, you'll see the cohesiveness. So the first section is halakha. The second section is what the Rambam calls haggadah, telling. So we have laws, and we have the telling, right? And the third section is halel, because that's when we begin the halel. So I would like to go through each section and point out certain pertinent themes of the sections, and we'll see that there's one unified theme that goes through it all. So the Rambam tells us that the real Haggadah begins, we start with Avadim Hayinu. And what is Avadim Hayinu a response to? What precedes it? The Manishtana. And what is the nature of the questions that are asked in the Manishtana? Halacha, it's the mitzvot halayla. They're not questions about the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. And so we say, and this is your second source, Avadim Hayinu Laparo v'Mitzrayim. We were slaves to Paro. Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Misham v'yad chazaka v'zroa netziyah. He took us out. V'ilu lo hotzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu et avoteinu v'Mitzrayim. Had he not taken us out, Hare anu uvaneinu uvenei vaneinu mishubadim hayinu laparo b'Mitzrayim. We will all have been enslaved there. Va'afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nivonim, kulanu zekeinim, kulanu yodin et haTorah, all different categories of wise people. Mitzvah aleinu l'saper b'tziat Mitzrayim. It's a mitzvah. V'chol hamarbe l'saper b'tziat Mitzrayim, hareza mishubach. So this is an appropriate way to begin the halachic segment of Maggid, to proclaim what is the essential halacha. And the Rav asks a question. He says, why does it say Avadim Hayinu? Shouldn't it say Avadim Hayu Avotenu? The Haggadah is asking us to see ourselves as if we went out of Mitzrayim. And he says, but we're separated from the event of the Shibud of Mitzrayim, the enslavement, and the Geula from Mitzrayim by over 3,500 years. Empires have been built and empires have been destroyed. We're here in Hollywood in 2019, living the way we live. How is it possible for us to relate to that event, to the slavery that happened in Mitzrayim? And the Rav explains that this mitzvah means that we have to make sure that when we tell the sipur, that it must be relevant. And he says that the Jew has a very special capability of relating to events of ancient history. We relate to Matan Torah with a reenactment on Chag HaShavuot. On Tisha B'Av, we mourn the Churban as if it is happening. And we have this very special gift. We relate to the Avot and the Imahot as if they are direct relatives. And so too, we can make this event of Yitziat Mitzrayim relevant to us. I will come back to this issue later on, so file it away. How can we go about making it more relevant? So we just read, Afilu kulanu chachamim kulanu nivonim. So we find out that the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim must be done by the intellectual elites, right? The aristocrats of our nation. And what does that tell us about the seaport? We may have had a premise that the seaport is a narrative. You have to tell the story. But if it's an obligation on Chachamim, what does that tell us that is part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim? What do Chachamim do when they get together? Do they just tell a story? What? They analyze. It's limud, it's learning. It's not just telling a story, a narrative, but it demands limud, learning and analysis. So the next thing that we, then what we do is we go through, because that's the halachot part, the different halachot. When we're obligated in this mitzvah of Zohar, what is the measure of the mitzvah? And finally we come to the proclamation, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenatan Torah La'amo Yisrael. And Chazal tell us that this statement functions as Birchat HaTorah. If it's a night of Limud, it's appropriate that we should make a bracha on our learning, like the Birchat HaTorah that you make every morning, or that you make before Kriyat HaTorah. And what's interesting is that we started off with the Chachamim and the Nevonim, and we may have thought, well, since they were mentioned, maybe the primary obligation of Sipur is on them. But we find out, Shenatan Torah La'amo Yisrael, the entire nation is obligated in the Sipur of Yitziat Mitzrayim. And therefore, the next part is that we talk about the Dalet Banim, right? That if we're going to tell a narrative, and that narrative has to reflect learning, and it has to be done by the intellectuals and by everybody else, we need to tailor the learning, because we have to recognize that there are different kinds of learners. There are different modalities of learning. And sometimes the differences are based on intellectual ability, like the Chacham and the Tam. Sometimes the differences are based on emotional states, resistance, disengagement. And so the Haggadah tells us that we have to differentiate our instruction. So as a mechanechet, this is my professional development credits for the year. The Torah was ahead of the cutting edge, right? Cutting edge educational philosophy. So now we find out that we need a narrative, right? It must include Torah shebichtav limud, and it must be differentiated. Okay, and now we go to what the Rambam calls the formal part of Haggadah, and we start. This is the Rambam on the next page, the second source of the next page, and the Rambam says this is the principle that will define how we tell the story. V'tzarich lahatchil b'gnut, and it is necessary to start with the disgrace, the lowest point at which the nation was, l'sayim b'shevach, and to conclude with praise. And there are actually two views in the Gemara of what is the starting point, what is the ultimate disgraceful state that we have to refer to in order to tell a complete story of Sipur of Yitziat Mitzrayim. So the first view is matchil u'misaper shebetchila hayu avoteinu bimei terach umulfanav kofrim v'toin achar hahevel v'rodfin achar avodat elilim. We go all the way back to Terach and his peers. And what was the state of the people at that time? What was their belief system? Idol worship. And he said, and they were mistaken, and they went after illusions. They were completely divorced from reality in terms of their relationship to a deity. And then what do we end with? Umisayim bidat ha'emet. And we conclude with the true religion, the true philosophy. Shekervanu hamakom lo, that Hashem brought us close to him. V'hivdilanu meha'umot, and he separated us from the nations. V'kervanu liyichudo. What does kervanu liyichudo mean? He brought us close to his oneness. He gave us access to the knowledge that would allow us to understand the concept of Hashem Echad. And that is the defining principle of our nation. Now, there's another view of where we start, and that is the next paragraph in the Rambam. And that is, he says, V'chein mavchil modia sh'avadim hayinu l'paro b'mitzrayim. This view says, if we're going to the beginning, we don't have to go all the way to the beginning of Terach and Avodah Zarah, we go to the beginning of the story. So we tell that we were slaves, and Hashem did a kindness to us, and we complete with the nisim and the nifla'ot that were done to us. So this is the parsha, and we say the parsha, and the Rambam says, V'hushi yidrosh arami oved avi. Now, Arami Oved Avi is a very interesting parsha. Does anyone know where in the Chumash and what the topic of Arami Oved Avi is? Bikurim. It's in Sefer Devarim. So when a person brings Bikurim to the Mikdash, and he hands them to the Kohen and lifts them up, and if you take a look, there's a certain text that he has to say. V'anita v'amarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. And he says, Arami Oved Avi, and there are many interpretations, but I'm just going to go with the simple pshat. A fugitive from Aram. My father was a fugitive from Aram. Vayered Mitzrayim, and he went down to Mitzrayim. Vayagorsham ben Tema'at, vayihisham legoy gadol atzum varav. He went down as a family. They turned into a big nation. Vayareo otanu hamitzrim, vayanunu, vayitznu aleinu avodah kasha. They were bad to us, they made us suffer, they gave us hard work. So we cried out. God heard us, he saw all our suffering. And he took us out with all kinds of wonders and miracles. Now the last two psukim are relevant to the person who's bringing Bikurim. And they are, Hashem brought us to this place, he gave us this land, Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, and then the person proclaims, Va'ata hine heveti et reshit pri ha'adama, asher natata li Hashem, I bring the first fruits that you have given me, v'hinachto lefnei Hashem lokecha, v'hishtachavita lefnei Hashem, and you will place them before Hashem, and you dedicate them to Hashem, and you bow down to Hashem. What is the purpose of this parsha? What is it an expression of? What would you say? Gratitude. Hakarat HaTov. This is the prototype of an expression of Hakarat HaTov. And since it expresses Hakarat HaTov about two topics, one is the Geula of Mitzrayim, and the other one is Biala Aretz, coming to the land of Israel, when the Haggadah was compiled, it was deemed appropriate that this should be the parsha that would be used to tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. All right, how many psukim here are devoted to Yitziat Mitzrayim, the story? Count them. Five psukim. Five out of seven. So Rav Soloveitchik says, if someone had asked me to write the Haggadah, I wouldn't have gone to Aramei Oved Avi. Where would you go if you were going to give a good story of the Haggadah? Where'd you go? Where would you go? Shemot, Sefer Shemot. You begin with Shemot, you go all the way to Bo, and that's a story. So the Rav asks, what is this? What is the nature of the story? And what do we learn from this? So he says, the first thing that we learn is that the chiyuv of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim is not that it has to be a comprehensive narrative that has a wide scope and is highly detailed. Instead, remember, the Rambam said, the Yidrosh Baparsha, Barami Oved Avi. If you go on in the Haggadah takes apart these psukim with little phrases, Vaya Anunu, by a reyotanu, and on each phrase, it gives a drash. So the Rav says that what does that teach us? That not only is Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim a narrative, and not only does it require a limud, and not only does it require to be relevant, And not only does it require to be differentiated instruction, but it must incorporate Torah Shabbat, not just Torah Shabbatav. So it's a complete learning. So this night of Leil Tevav is the primary mitzvah of the night, is a very specialized form of Talmud Torah at its finest. So then, after the analysis of the Psukim, that leads us to a discussion of the Makot. And again, it doesn't talk about all the Medrashim and all the details and the impact of the Makot and the Yudim. The Haggadah seems more concerned about how the Makot reveal the Divine Presence, Gilui Shechina, and that takes the Chachamim to a comparison between the Makot of Mitzrayim and the Makot Al Yamsuf. And all of it, we end up with Dayenu, and we see that as part of our Sipur, we're required to gain a recognition of the Chesed Hashem. The story is supposed to bring us to a sense of appreciation. And then the final statement of the Magid part, the Haggadah part of Kosheni, Rabban Gamliel Haya Omer, this is on your next page, Kol Shelo Amar Shlosha Dvarim Elu B'Pesach Lo Yatza Yedei Chovato. Anyone who didn't say these three things on Pesach, he didn't fulfill his commandment. And most of the Rishonim say that it means he didn't fulfill it b'shleimuto, completely. And what are they? Pesach, matzah, and maror. And what do? We say matzah zo, and we point. We say maror zu. So what we see here is that the Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim cannot just be a concentrated study of the events that happened, the Medrashim, the Hashkafos that emerged from it, but the Sipur must emerge from the Mitzvot HaLaila. So we need to study the Mitzvot HaLaila and see how they are relevant to the story, the connection between the mitzvah and the actual occurrences. And then we also see that as part of our differentiated instruction, the learning has to be hands-on. It has to be concrete. Something concrete that leads to something representational, and finally, to abstract concepts. And then we say, Bechol dor vador chayav adam lirot et atzmo ki'ilu hu ba'atzmo yatza Mitzrayim. So if we're taking this idea of relevance that was introduced in Avadim Hayinu, now the Haggadah is telling us it's not enough that it's relevant, but you have to see yourself as a player in the drama. You have to relate to it in such a visceral way that you are there and you're observing yourself as it's going on. And if you do that, which means that the Sipur demands, on top of everything else that we've built up, a reenactment of the events, because you're there. And if you do it properly, then lefichach chayavim lahodot v'halel b'shimcha hagadol. Then you will be so appreciative of the chesed Hashem that you have an obligation, and the truth of the matter is it should come naturally, to burst forth in praise for the Almighty. So I've been pondering all of this for the past week or two, and I understand what the Rav said, that we have to be able to relate, and it has to be relevant, and Jews are very good at that. But I was talking to my son Hillel, and he said to him, I don't understand. At the end of the day, we're separated. We're at two different coordinates in time and space. And how are we going to bridge that gap? There's such a huge, huge gap between them. How can the Torah really demand of us to actually achieve this relevancy and this reenactment? How do we do that? So Hillel said to me, he thought about it, and he called me back the next day, as I'm trying to get out to go to school. And he said to me, I've been thinking about it, Ma, and I think that there's a problem with our premise. Because the premise is that I have to relate to the events that happened in Mitzrayim. And I'm looking at myself as an individual. And the truth is that I as an individual and Bnei Israel, we are very, very far apart from that era in Mitzrayim. But he said the purpose of Yetziat Mitzrayim was for us to become a nation. So we have to look at this obligation from the point of view of the nation. And so we have to ask the question, what is the purpose of the nation? And when Hashem reveals himself to Moshe in the, at the Sneh, and Hashem is trying to convince Moshe to accept the Shlichut and to convince him that he's worthy to be the messenger and Bnei Yisrael are worthy to be redeemed, he says to him, V'zelecha ha'ot ki anochi shlachticha, this is the sign that I have sent you. This is, will validate everything. B'hotziyacha et ha'am mi Mitzrayim, when you take the nation out of Mitzrayim, ta'avdun et ha'elokim al ha'har hazeh. The whole objective of Yetziat Mitzrayim is to stand by Har Sinai and to become Avdei Hashem. We leave behind Avdei Paro, Avdei Mitzrayim, and we walk into a qualitatively different state to be Avdei Hashem. And what is the nature of this relationship? Hashem says, "Vatem tiyuli segula mikol ha'amim." What does segula mean? Treasure, chosen, special. It's a unique, exclusive relationship. Vatem tiyuli mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh, and you will be for me a nation of priests and a sanctified nation. So that means that Bnei Israel, the formation of this nation, it is not simply a political, socio-economic organism that's being formed here, but what is emerging from Mitzrayim and being fully realized at Har Sinai is a nation that functions as a vehicle of Kiddush Hashem. We're Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. Through us, everybody else gains access to, they can become Karov L'Yehudo. They gain access to the concept of Hashem Echad. So that means that Klal Yisrael, the nation of Israel, we are not simply a physical nation, but we are being elevated and we become a metaphysical entity. We're a principle. And as a metaphysical entity, that is the key to the way that if we're living in 2019, we can relate to events that happened over 3,500 years ago, because we're all part of the same entity in an essential manner. And so what happens in Mitzrayim, the beginning, what defines what we left behind and what defines our mission, that is critical for every member of the nation. We are all one. And I think that's perhaps what the Rav means when the Rav says that we're capable of connecting. We don't have to reach over a gap. There is no gap. We are connected by generations of Mesorah, generations of Talmud Torah, of giving over these principles from one generation to another. And that is what is happening at our Seder, V'higadata Levincha. So, there's one more thing that we have to go to. The Rambam tells us, okay, and go to the next source after Rabban Gamliel. He says, remember we said before that the Haggadah says, "B'chol dor v'dor, chayav adam lirot et atzma." But if you look at the Rambam, who can tell me, how does the Rambam change the Lashon? Chayav adam laharot et atzma. What does laharot et atzma mean? He has to show himself. So what does that mean, he has to show himself? How do we go further from relevancy to reenactment? What does show himself mean? What is that extra level? So if we take a look at, let's see, do I have it on the sheet? I don't know if I gave you this Rambam. The Rambam tells us, Lefichach, I don't know if I...
Source 11.
Oh, I don't have numbers on this one. Lefichach, Kishesoed adam balayla hazeh. When a person feasts on this night, tzarich le'echol v'lishtot, he is obligated to eat and to drink, v'hu meisev derech cheirut, and he reclines in a manner of freedom. V'chol echad v'echad, and every single individual, bein anashim, bein nashim, whether you are male or female, chayav lishtot balayla hazeh arba'a kosot shel yayin. There is an obligation to drink 4 cups of wine, because drinking 4 cups of wine is the ultimate expression of chayrut. So what we see here is that the Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim is not only fulfilled through articulation and through pointing, but it has to be fulfilled through demonstration. And the interesting thing is the next halacha, which I don't know if you'll like so much, but I hope you will. Isha einat tzricha haseva. A woman doesn't require haseva. And why is that? The Chachamim tell us that if a woman feels that she is not independent, that she's dependent on her husband, right, then she does not require haseva. V'im isha chashuvahi, and we are all nashim chashuvot, right? Tzricha haseva. Then she requires haseva. So what does this teach us? She really has to feel it. It's not a joke. We're not just going through the motions. So when the Rambam says that a person is obligated laharot et atzmo, it means that the ultimate fulfillment of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim demands a kiyum shebalev. It's not just doing the technical actions and fulfilling your obligations, but it must result in that it really moves you and you're connected because of that. Because the person who started at Kosheni is not the same person who gets to the point of Bracha Goel Yisrael and drinks from the second coast. You have been transformed by the study in which you have been engaged. And that transformation, that change in the gavra, in the state of the individual, that is what brings you into the realm, lefichach chayavim lahudot lahalel. Now you are a person who is capable of giving a proper shevach l'Hashem, and hopefully you are a person who wants to give the ultimate shevach l'Hashem. So, finally, we get to the meal. And then we have Birkat HaMazon and Kol Shlishi. And then we complete, oh, I forgot to say, at this point, when we Lahudot LaHalel, we say the first 2 prakim of Halel. The first parak begins with Halleluka, Hallelu, Avdei Hashem. We have been transformed into Avdei Hashem. An Eved Hashem is qualitatively different than an Eved to a human being. Because an Eved to human being is passive, is a victim, has no control over his time, no control over his actions, no control of his choices. But what Hashem asks of us when we are Avdei Hashem is that we be active, that we use our minds to search and seek out his truth, that we gain an understanding of it and align ourselves with reality, that we have confidence in our minds, and that we are free to make proper choices. So ironically, the only true free person is the person who is in Eved Hashem. So we say our Hallel, we bench, we have Kol Shlishi, we complete our Hallel, and the theme of the second part of Hallel talks about Galut, the other Galuyot, and looks forward to the ultimate Geula, and then goes to Nishmat Kol Chai, which looks forward to all of mankind coming to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we say Chasal Sidur Pesach, and Hoshana Haba Yerushalayim.